I want you to take your Bibles, turn to Deuteronomy 32 if you would. That's up there on the screen, but I want to kind of go over some places in your Bible tonight. And I want to just give you some encouragement and some learning. There's time for preaching, I believe, and time for teaching and learning. And I don't know, God, sometimes I'll just intend to teach and God will stir me up and I'll preach. But anyway, I always look at our time that we gather together as just a way, number one, for the fellowship. And I enjoy the good fellowship. I enjoy the time that we spend together. And it's so good. You know, we're all just alike. Somebody said, what is fellowship? And I said, it's all of us fellows in the same ship. Okay? Is what it is. And we're all in the same boat. And the old timers used to call it the old ship of Zion. Amen. But we're just a bunch of sinners, and we go through life and have difficulties and problems every now and then. We all need one another, and we need one another's encouragement, one another's fellowship. But we also need just solid biblical teaching, some things that'll stick in our mind. You know, there's some meals that you can eat, and an hour later you're starving to death again. And we like to get those meals where when we eat them, they stick with us for a while. Amen. Hey, that's good. I learned a long time ago not to eat cereal, breakfast cereal, and then go out and work a job. Okay? Because by 9 o'clock, I'm going. Okay? It just runs out quick, so it needs some good carbs in me and things like that. And that's what we need to do every now and then as we come into God's house. Deuteronomy chapter 32, I want to just kind of take you down a trail of Scripture tonight to show you where to turn to. Where to turn to. When you run into an issue of life, where to go? What counsel should you seek out? What place should you turn to? Whose advice is going to carry you the furthest? They call it, you know, I'm going to teach on doctrine and how to find doctrine. But doctrine is more than just the factual knowledge of what the Bible says. The Bible sort of lays it out like this. When we learn the facts of the Bible, then God, over time, helps us to take and assimilate those facts and gives us understanding. All right? So let's say make it simple. The fact is, a red light at the intersection means what? Means stop. Okay? A green light means go. And a yellow light means go faster. So you beat the red light. That's the way it got it. Okay? That's the way some people think. And so you should always be careful. Those are the facts. Those are the facts. Understand that once you learn that, young people, listen to this, you're learning how to drive. Some of you even with licenses still learning how to drive. The understanding comes of what happens when you see the red light and decide to go anyway. You understand that certain things are going to happen. You're either going to get pulled over. You're going to get a bill made to you in mail because there was a stoplight camera there. Or you're going to hurt somebody. That's understanding. The facts are the facts. Understanding that the facts are there for a reason and how they work. Wisdom is what happens when you have those two underlying things. Knowledge and understanding. Wisdom says, slow down. When you approach an intersection, I don't care if it's green or not, slow down. Because it may turn on you. And sometimes wisdom doesn't come but by experience and years. That the older you get, the wiser you get, and you're more cautious about things. Okay? When I'm 20 years old, Jared, I run outside in the snow and the ice and just dance all over it. It's no big deal. Okay? And the older I get, I guarantee you, I see ice and snow on something, I'm walking around like this. Because I'm like 200 some odd pounds, and great would be the fall of it. Okay? Wisdom tells me, Mike, hang on to something. Slow down. You're not in that big a hurry. This is going to hurt if it happens to you. And so we assimilate the facts in our minds. So I'm going to give you a lot of verses. And you take those verses, and over time, God gives you understanding of things. And believe it or not, learning doctrines out of the Bible helps you in everyday life. Because you need to decide in life where and who am I going to turn to when I run into something that I can't fix. Where am I going to turn to? When things are going bad at work, things go bad at home, things go bad in the country, when things are going bad with me, or I have something I don't know how to deal with, what have I got? And if you got enough knowledge and understanding of the Bible, the Holy Ghost will give you wisdom on how to apply it and how it applies in your life. So in Deuteronomy chapter 32, I have verse 31 up on the screen, but I want us to go back just a little bit. These are some of Moses' last words to his people. He's within just a couple chapters here of God preaching his funeral. And so he's just laying some things out. So he says in verse 27, go back there. Were it not that I feared the wrath of the enemy, lest their adversaries should behave themselves strangely, and lest any should say, our hand is high and the Lord hath not done all this, for they are a nation void of counsel, neither is any understanding in them. Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. That is wisdom. God connected it. Wisdom comes when you look at a situation and consider how it could end. And when you consider how it could end, that will cause you to slow down at a yellow light instead of speeding up at one. See, when you're young and you're bulletproof and you got a fast car or truck, you see that yellow light, you think you can make it. But wisdom kicks in over time and you say, you know what? I don't want to pay the ticket. I don't want the points on my record. I don't want to hit somebody's car. I don't want anybody hitting mine. Wisdom. You consider the latter end. I'm going to ask you to consider the latter end of your life. Where are you going to end up? When you draw your last breath, where are you going to end up? That's wisdom. You consider the latter end of it. So he says, oh, they would consider their latter end. Verse 30, how should one chase 1,000? Do you think that you have it within your ability and in your power to chase 1,000 or 2,000 of your enemies away from you? You can if God is on your side. Our founding fathers in this country had this verse in their minds when they fought the Revolutionary War. I'm not kidding you. They said, how can one of us chase 1,000 of our enemies except God be our rock? That's what they said. So how should one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight except their rock? And notice in your King James, that is a what? Capital R. It's not just talking about this little rock laying in the driveway. No, it's talking about the rock that the wise man built his house upon. Okay? Their rock had sold them and the Lord had shut them up. For their rock, little r, is not as our rock, capital R. Isn't that something? The King James translators knew the difference in that verse. And they wanted to signify to the reader that there was actually a difference between these two rocks. He's telling you the enemy has a rock, but our rock is not like their rock. And they make it visibly plain to you by capitalizing the R of our rock and lowercase in the R of their rock. That's a picture for you to look at. So he said, for their rock is not as our rock, even our enemies themselves being judges. For their vine is of the vine of Sodom. And of the fields of Gomorrah. Their grapes are grapes of gall. Clusters, their clusters are bitter. Their wine, now watch this, their wine is the poison of dragons and the cruel venom of asps. What is an asp? It's hard to say, isn't it? It's a snake. What is a dragon? Who's the dragon? The devil is. Revelation 12 says, Satan, the devil, the dragon, the serpent. That's who that is. And so watch this. The world's wine. And wine, think about this. Grapes can produce good and sweet, or they can produce not good. And it depends on the amount of corruption that creeps in. Because when you take good, clean, pure, sweet grape juice, and you let it sit, and it gets a little yeast in it, that yeast starts eating that sugar. And as the yeast eat the sugar in that juice, that yeast starts dying off. And as it dies off, it releases methyl alcohol. And as far as I'm concerned, it ruins the grape juice. But everybody else says, oh no, that's the good stuff. Not if you've seen what I've seen. Amen? Not if you've seen some guy's life and some woman's wife or some kid's life wasted by alcohol. You don't say that that's the good stuff anymore. I would rather have the new wine. And God said in Isaiah that new wine is found in the cluster. So the idea of new wine is unfermented, non-alcoholic grape juice. By the way, that's what Jesus turned from water. He served the best wine last. The word wine in the Bible, it simply means from the vine. But you use the story to discern whether or not it was clean from the vine and unfermented, good wine, new wine, or it was fermented wine. A lot of times you'll find wine listed with strong drink in the Bible, and there's your connection right there. Okay? So their wine is the poison of dragons. What does that pertain to? Go back to Genesis chapter 3. The words that the serpent spoke out of his mouth, that was his poison. False doctrine. False ideas. Wicked counselor. They called Jesus Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God. The Antichrist is called the Wicked Counselor. Do you see the opposites? So their wine is poison. It is venomous ideas and bad doctrine. It is bad ways of life that everybody says this is good. You never see a beer or a wine commercial or anything like that, but what they always paint it in a positive light. They always say this is where the good life is. This is where happiness is. This is where your friends are. If you're going to have life, live it to the fullest. Drink this alcoholic beverage. That's what they sell you on. They don't show you the car crash. They don't show you the wife that's been slapped around. They don't show you the child that's been molested. They don't show you those pictures. But that's the end of it. That's where it ends up. Can I get amen out of God's people? Amen. That, by the way, that's where bad ideas come from too. That's where bad counsel comes from. Be careful who you get your counsel from. Be careful about the friends that you associate with telling you things that are not true. Be careful of ideas coming off television or radio or whatever it is, coming out of books or magazines or even written by the doctors and the professionals. Be careful about that stuff. Because if it contradicts what God said is true in His Word, and if you will learn this book, you will understand that some things, when people say it, you say, you know what? You just said something, and God reminded me of a verse in the Bible, and I know that's wrong, and I'm not going to follow that. Young people, you listen to this one, because they're coming after you hard and heavy with new ideas, false ideas. At some point, young people, the things that you are learning in church, they're going to be tested and challenged once you step out of mom and dad's boundaries. Raise your hand, adults, if you know that to be true. Absolutely. Everything that you're learning right now is going to be tested. And if it's in you and anchored you good enough, you will not fail. But that's your choice. That's your call. Your mom and dad's going to tell you things. I'm going to tell you things. Your Sunday school teacher's going to tell you things. But if you won't listen, we can't help you any further than that. So that's what we can pray for you. But I want you to get this idea. Their vine is the vine of Sodom. The fields of Gomorrah. Their grapes are grapes of gall. Their clusters are bitter. And here's what's interesting. There is an association in the Bible between gall and bitterness. There is actually an herb called wormwood. You ever heard of that? That's in the book of Revelation. There's a star that falls called wormwood, and it causes all the waters to be bitter. But wormwood has a purpose to some people. Wormwood, it's called absinthe, and you can take that herb and concoct a liquor out of it that is an intoxicant. I like how the word toxic is in the word intoxicated. Toxic means what?
Poison.
Wormwood makes your mind go crazy. Wormwood makes your, and there's a beverage you can get. You can buy it. I guess you can buy it at the liquor store. It's been a long time since I've been in one. But I guess you can buy it. Absinthe, you can get an extract of that, and it makes your mind do things, see things, hear things that are not real. It makes you drunken. It makes you hallucinate. It makes you high. It does all of these things. So he's caught. Notice the contrast. their poison, their words, their doctrine, their counsel is bitter. And it may not seem that way at first until you try their counsel and you get to the end of it and you find out that the Bible was right. It is very bitter. I need some adults to raise their hand if you followed somebody's counsel at one time in life and found out they were lying through their teeth and you found out how bitter it was at the end. Amen. Been there, done that. Okay? So just the contrast here. So we have a contrast of their wine is wormwood. It's bitter. It makes you think in a way that's not true and not genuine. Their wine is poison of dragons and the cruel venom of asps. So when you look in the Bible, you have two vines. Okay? You have the pure vine, which is Christ. He said it. Take your Bible to John 15. Turn there. John 15. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and Juan. He was Hispanic. A lot of people don't know that. Juan. I made that up. He was Italian. It was Giovanni. Okay? No, he was German. It's Johann. That's John. John chapter 15. Jesus said, I am. I love those words coming out of Jesus' mouth. Amen? I am. I am the true vine. Which means, number one, everything about Jesus is true. He has no ability to lie. What's of God is not a man that he should lie. Jesus never lied. Is not now lying, and he never will lie. He can be trusted. So he said, I'm the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. You know what that word means? He is the farmer. He's the one that owns the vineyard. He's the one that takes care of it. He's the one that does things with it. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, how many of you want to bear fruit? Say amen. Amen. You want to bear the good fruit of salvation. Number one, he purgeth it. Don't complain sometimes when God is trying to purge some things out of you. You want me to tell the story of me down in all that Benadryl that night? You want me to tell that again? Milk and mustard? Okay. Purging is not fun, but it's necessary. Okay. So God will purge you. God will trim you. God will shave some things off of you. And it may not seem joyous at the time, but remember, God is trying to refine a wild vine. We're grafted into a really good vine. And there's some things about us that God knows that have to be trimmed off. So that's what the husbandman will do. He said, every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. And he's teaching something very simple. Detach a branch from the vine and set it over it, stick it in the ground. What's going to happen? Nothing. Its source of water and nutrition and stability has been removed. So, likewise, anybody who says, I want to follow Christ, I want to be a Christian, I want to go to heaven, when you remove yourself from the vine, you will languish and die. No fruit. That's what will happen to you. So he said, you have to abide. You have to stay on there. Stick with it. Hang on. So the vine can give you nourishment. The vine can give you the word. The vine can give you all the nutrition it's pulling up from the ground. He said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. I always like to look at it like this. This is the church right here, the four fingers. See, we have 12 places right here, and 12 is the number for promise. This is Christ, the thumb. You cannot do anything without your thumb. God designed us. You ever seen a kitty cat hang drywall? Or roof? Or write letters? They can't. Why? They don't have a thumb. Of course, they don't have a brain that goes with it either. But we can't do anything without Christ. Amen? And if you try it, it will not last. It will fail. So then he says, if verse 6, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire and they are burned. Fire is always a picture of what? Hell. I don't want to go there. So in verse 7, if you abide in me and my words, there it is, there's a connection. My words abide in you. We get the words from the vine. The words come from the vine. And if in your life, or let's say your religious experience, or your particular denomination, or your particular church, or just a particular religious philosophy that you have chosen to adopt for your life, if you are drawing from a corrupt vine, the laws of science and nature and the Word of God itself says that you will bring forth corrupt fruit. Make sense to everybody? So there is a pure vine, which is Christ, the Word of God. There is a corrupt vine. We saw it in Deuteronomy 32. It is a vine of Sodom. So, let's look at it in reality. Is the Bible right? We detached the United States of America and its culture from the Word of God in the 1960s. We set it aside. So while the Bible is decreasing, Hugh Hefner and the Beatles are increasing. And Abby Hoffman and all of the drug people and all of the liberals and everything else that goes along with it, that's increasing in America to the point now to where it's not only okay, it's actually desirable to be a sodomite. Not with me. And I hope not with you. But you'd be surprised at the people you'd knock and ask a question. Do you favor homosexual marriage? Do you favor gay marriage? Do you say it like this. Do you favor marriage equality? Yeah, I think I do. What happened to the mindset of Americans? The vine, the true vine was taken away. And now they're pulling from the vine of Sodom. And Sodom is the result and is the fruit of America. You believe that? Amen. That's what happened. So it's essential that God's church, God's people, those who call themselves God's people, hang on the vine and stick with the true vine. This is where we're going to get our ideas. This is where we're going to get our meditations, our thoughts, how we think, how we go about our work, how we go about our relationships, how we go about what we believe, how we go about just day-to-day life, our finances. Everything in life is covered in this book. There's not anything that you'll run into in this life that's not covered in this book. This book is the book of life. It is the instruction manual for God's people. Can I hear you say amen? So watch this. There is a story. 2 Kings, are we still working? Amen. 2 Kings chapter 4, listen to this story. One went out into the field to gather herbs and found a wild vine. And gathered thereof wild gourds. This is the prophets. It was a school of prophets. And they gathered thereof wild gourds, his lap full, and came and shred them into the pot of pottage. Just like a stew that they're making. For they, look at this, they knew them not. They were not familiar with this vine. They didn't know what it had in it. So they poured out for the men to eat. And it came to pass as they were eating of the pottage that they cried out and said, O thou man of God, there is death in the pot. And they could not eat thereof. They were figuring out that this vine that they had pulled these gourds from and shred them into their stew was poison. Because the corrupt vine is poison. It has the wine and the poison of dragons in it. That's what they were feeding from. So can you imagine? 21st century American Christianity is full of dragons poison. Because the pastors, The preachers, the teachers, the evangelists, the denominational leaders, and all the big ministries have decided to abandon the pure vine of Christ, and they have exchanged it for the wild vine of worldly ideas, worldly psychology, worldly theology, things and doctrines and ideas that did not come from the Word of God. They're not here. And if they're not here, they had to have come from someplace. Men don't make up doctrine, by the way. Your Bible will teach you that men's doctrine will either come from the Bible or it'll come from devils. One or the other. And that's the truth of it. So if they have a doctrine and it didn't come from the pure vine of Christ, where did it come from? It came from devils. Devils introduced it. Devils taught it. Devils always wrap it up to make it sound spiritual and to sound right and to at least taste good for a while. But the outcome is always bitterness. The outcome leads to Ichabod being written over our churches, being written over our courthouses, being written over our congressional houses, and finally being written over the American people itself. Ichabod. You know what that means? The glory is departed. God is no longer here. So that's what happens when you have a wild vine. We already covered John 15. Now watch this. Titus chapter 1. There are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers. The Apostle Paul used the word many. There's more out there preaching the vine of Sodom than there is guys that are preaching and teaching the pure vine of Jesus Christ. Way more. What do you think the audience is of these daytime talk shows? These nighttime dramas and sitcoms? The evening news stories. What do you think the audience in America is? It's into the millions. I didn't even want to guess how many people in America are still holding to the vine of Christ. But they're definitely in the minority. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses. You know how they subvert a whole house? They get in with one person in that house and a little leaven. Leaveneth the whole lump. I've seen families fall as a result of one in the family being infected with the vine of Sodom and the poison. And it's contagious. Whose mouths must be stopped. Who subvert whole houses, teaching things they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. What is filthy lucre? Cha-ching. Doing it for money. Got a new program this week. Got a new video. Got new DVD. This set. We normally run this set for $125 plus postage and handling, but if you respond within the next 30 minutes to this radio broadcast, we'll send this to you for $75. Gary, what does it take to make a DVD?
Oh, DVD itself is about 20 cents, and maybe 50 cents for the whole thing.
50 cents to put a video on a DVD, and then it costs a little bit extra to mail it out. Okay, that's what it costs. So they got a four DVD set. For us, that costs us about $3 or $4. And for them, with the bulk that they get, they probably get a better deal than we do. And so for a four video set, they're getting $100 out of it. And it costs $4. Okay? Why do they say what they say? Filthy lucre's sake. If the doctrines didn't come from this vine, chances are it's done for filthy lucre's sake. So he said in verse 13, this witness is true. Wherefore rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Is it okay to have bad doctrine mixed in with good doctrine? The Bible says no, it's not okay. Under the pure, all things are pure. So I'm going to ask you a question. Do you believe that this Bible is pure? See, that reflects a heart that God has given you to just believe the Bible's right. It's not wrong. I'm wrong. But the Bible's not wrong. So under the pure. And doesn't that make you feel good? Because you say, I believe that every word in this book is right and true. God calls you pure. And if God calls you pure, John, it's like what you and I were talking about before church. You was reading about Balaam and Balak. I was just reading that the other day. And Balak was paying Balaam to curse Israel. And God repeatedly had to get Balaam by the nape of his neck and shake him and say, look, I've blessed Israel. You can't curse them. Because I call them blessed. And it doesn't matter what you've done or what you remember that you did. If God calls you pure, you're pure. You tell God, thank you. They don't say, oh yeah, that's me, baby. I'm pure. That don't make us do that. That makes me weep. That makes me get out on my face before God and say, God, I'm unworthy of that one. I don't deserve that one. God says, that's okay, Mike. I love you. I called you pure. Under the pure, all things are pure. But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. So you know what we hear? Oh, there's mistakes in all the Bibles. They didn't translate it right. This manuscript got corrupted, and there's variances here, and this Greek manuscript says one thing, and this Greek manuscript over here says something completely different. And by the time we got it all translated, why, there's no way in the world that you can go from one language to the next. Everybody that's smart knows that, except the Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Ghost started the whole church out on the day of Pentecost doing what? Translating Bible verses. He did. He started the whole church age out doing one thing really good, and that was translating Bible verses into the languages that people could hear and understood, and thousands of people got saved because of that. Well, that's good. Amen. Defiled, them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient and unto every good work reprobate. Those are strong words from God. He's calling people who say, oh, we're of God. Oh, yeah, we're this and we're that. And I'm reminded, I'm going to tell this story, and then we're going to pray over the Bradleys. I was in Lansing, Michigan, and I was getting ready to do a little conference up there. And I didn't know, but there was a group of people. It was the first time I had an interaction with these people, Dave. They come and they would sit on the back part. It was like a little corner that they would sit in. They'd come to every one of these Prophecy Club meetings, and they'd come over there and sit. And they were always there, and they were trying to make disciples of everybody that came to those meetings. I figured them out very quickly. The lead wolf of that pack came to me, and I shook hands with him. He said, I'm so-and-so. I said, well, I'm Mike Hoggard. Nice to meet you. And he said, have you ever seen this Bible before? I said, is it a King James? That's just the first words out of my mouth. Is it a King James? He said, it's based on the King James. And all of a sudden, sirens went off in my head. Warning, And I opened it up, and it was a sacred name Bible. Every place in the King James Bible where the word Lord or Jesus or God was there in your King James, they took it out and replaced it with some Hebrew word. And I ended up having a run-in in front of everybody with those people at the end of the meeting because they were trying to trap me into admitting that I felt there was a mistake in the King James Bible. And they said, Acts chapter 15, the word Easter. And you know what God had done for me, Chris? God had, unbeknownst to me, God had led me into studying that issue months before that. He had armed me with that silver bullet. And I already knew how to answer it. I'm just going, I know this one. I can do this one. And what it was, I knew that there was a pack of wolves over here that was waiting for every one of these Prophecy Club meetings to launch out and get these people to drop their weapons and replace this pure book with a defiled version. And what I did was I went after them in public. And I read 1 Peter chapter 2 and I said, but to them to be disobedient, the Bible's wrong. And they knew who I was talking about. There was people over here that I knew they wanted to go to bed that night thinking that their Bible was right and everything that said, because that's all they had. And I wasn't going to let these people steal it away. And I want to tell you something. Don't let anybody take away take you away from the true, pure vine of Jesus Christ. Don't let them do it. Don't listen to their counsel. Don't listen to their advice. Don't say, well, I don't, you know, you don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Listen, the baby's dead. Throw it out. Get rid of that nasty stuff, because they will love to mix a little truth in with just a little bit of lie. That's how the devil always gets in. Just a little bit of yeast in the loaf, and that's all it takes. So I'm telling you, I'm a champion and a believer that if we're going to believe something, let's get it from this book and this book alone, and then act like nothing else exists in the world.
Amen.
That'll help you in your life. That'll help you believe that when something you encounter something in this life that it doesn't seem like anybody else has an answer to, I'm telling you, this Bible has the answer to it. And a lot of times, raise your hand if you've done this, you needed it, you said, God, I need help, open the Bible, that page, it's right there. That's how God does it a lot of times. Sometimes He'll make you work a little bit for it. Amen? Okay? But then it'll always pay off. Read your Bible, people. Read it. Don't count on me Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night to just spoon feed you everything that you need for your life. When you go home tonight, read your Bible. When you get up sometime tomorrow, read your Bible. Thursday, Friday, read your Bible. Saturday, read your Bible. And that way you'll be all Bibled up come Sunday. Amen? Dave, Bradley and Anna and Huey, Dewey and Louie and Daffy are going to go to Italy, Germany. The church that they're going to in Germany, Pope Benedict had actually said that that church is the most dangerous church in Germany. Baptist church, fundamental Baptist church that believes the book.
Amen.
Okay? And they have, how many tracks do they have? You told me.
Whole room full of tracks.
They have people from all over the world donating tracks to them, and they have handed out millions of tracks. Now, this is not patting them on the back. This is just giving you an idea of what they're headed into. And when you're so hated that the Pope says something about you, you're messed up, okay? I don't know why I ain't got that kind of attention yet, but I'm working on it, okay? I'm going to have us all good and hated by the time we leave out of here. But I want us to pray for them. So Dave, you and your family, would you come up here? We did this.